The Orange Order reckons that you need to listen very, very carefully after it has conducted an investigation into the treatment of Protestants in the Northern Ireland civil service. It says it follows complaints from members and their families over a number of years. It says they have included allegations of outright discrimination to complaints about a prevailing nationalist ethos within some departments. I've been speaking to the Grand Secretary of the Grand Orange Lodge, Drew Nelson, and asked him who carried out the report.
Yeah, the Orange Institution carried this out. We've been working on it for about 2 years now, and the information in the report comes from responses to freedom of information requests and 25 statements from individual civil servants across 5 departments.
Yeah, this report, just to be clear, it's based on only 25 Orange Order members, isn't it?
They're not all members of the Orange Order, actually.
Well, families.
The wider Protestant community.
Yeah. It's based on 25 people.
That's right, yes.
Out of 25,000 civil servants in total.
Yes, but if we look at some of the responses to freedom of information requests, the equality statistics for the Northern Ireland Civil Service, which the latest report is 2013, I believe it's done every 3 years, but that's an internal investigation by the civil service. And it's showing that there are 300 less Protestants employed than from the comparator population.
That's hardly a massive figure, though, Drew, out of 25,000, is it?
What we've also discovered here that there's a long-term trend. I mean, we know and I accept that historically the civil service was disproportionately Protestant. But there's been a long-term trend of less and less Protestants being employed and more Catholics. And if we extrapolate that out, I actually believe the figure would be double that now in 2016, that there would be 600 less Protestants at least.
Well, that's you guessing.
Well, it's an extrapolation of figures. We can only go on what information's up to date and available. And the latest we have is 2013.
So your investigation has a total of 25 statements. And out of those 25 statements, you're alleging widespread unfairness in the civil service.
That's the word that the two words kept coming through when people gave us these statements. And the statements, by the way, are all people's own words and their own perceptions. But the two words, when we looked at it, we only put the name in the report at the end. The two words that we that came up again and again were unfairness and fear. People feel that they're being treated unfairly. And they're fearful and they're afraid to stand up and make a complaint.
Well, let's look at some of the statements that you detail in your report from some anonymous Orange Order members and families. One says, some Roman Catholic staff deem it acceptable to display mass cards around their desk. That's the definition of unfair, is it?
Well, you see, that is probably a breach of the civil service's own dignity at work policy.
Having a mass card?
I believe that's probably a breach of their dignity at work policy. And can I say that I believe that there's a major breach in the dignity at work policy, the civil service's own published dignity at work policy details that unwanted written material should not be circulated. Now, there's an Irish language magazine which is circulated, not to every civil servant, but widely throughout the civil service, and that is unwanted by a lot of our members.
Well, let's
but it's still being circulated.
Let's focus on the statement I've just read. So I'm not a Catholic, but I presume a mass card is a sympathy card. What is offensive about a sympathy card being on a desk?
I think the difficulty here for that person is that it's a display of an item of material which is associated with one section of the community. And if one of our members put on their desk a sympathy card, an Orange Order sympathy card, which we sell, I think they would be pulled up on it. In fact, there's no doubt about it.
So someone dies, someone has a sympathy card on their desk. Maybe a colleague has written to them. My goodness, Drew, maybe a Protestant has written to them.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm sorry to hear the death of your mother. Well, and that's offensive.
That's the perception of that person. Now, there are other things you're focusing on.
Well, let me move on to another one.
Yeah.
Another statement complains, talk of the GAA games is commonplace each Monday.
Yeah.
And that's unfair, and it's written into this report as one of the offences.
Well, here's the difficulty about that. It's how people are treated first. Our members are telling me, and the families are telling me, that they would be afraid, they would be ostracised, possibly victimised, if they went in on a Monday morning and started talking amongst themselves about an Orange Order parade. Now, the Orange Order is seen as within the Protestant community, as seen as a similar organisation to the GAA within the Catholic community. And that's the difficulty.
Is the Orange Order in the 16th century? You do realise it's 2016, right? And when people walk into workplaces across the world and they're saying, did you see that goal Man United scored at the weekend? Oh my goodness, Manchester City, you know, isn't it fantastic that they were beaten by Man United the other day? And now you think, and you're detailing this in a report, that GAA games is, for someone to walk into work and talk about a GAA game is offensive? Are you for real? Is the Orange Order for real?
Stephen, I am reporting what our members and their families are saying.
No, you're reporting what 25 of them have said, and you've extrapolated from these type of complaints that there's unfairness in the civil service. Tell me, I want you to tell me, what is offensive from someone walking in and talking about a GAA game?
The difficulty is that this is reflecting the ethos that is prevailing, not in the whole civil service, but in parts of the Northern Ireland civil service.
But what is offensive about somebody talking about a GAA game?
The difficulty is that it creates a cold house factor, that if a young Protestant goes into work in an office, it's overwhelmingly GAA. We have coming up on the civil service intranet reports of GAA matches, which are in contravention of their own dignity at work policy because they don't take out the motifs on their shirts, whereas they do that for
Ulster Rugby, by the
way, on the Irish FA. So
it's a different issue. Do you find
it's in this report that is creating the difficulty is if there's an overwhelming ethos within an office, a young Protestant goes to work there and it's all every day at lunchtime is talk about issues that emanate from one community or one section of the community and not the other, that immediately creates a cold house.
Do you find a conversation about GAA offensive?
Personally, that depends on the context in which that conversation is taking place. And if it becomes overwhelming that it's something that's just talked about every day, and then I feel embarrassed or fearful to talk about some Orange Order issues, then it does become a difficulty.
What type of mad person would talk about GAA every day? That's not what it says in this report. I'll go on to another statement. It says, Roman Catholic colleagues openly talk about GAA, their religion, going to Mass, Ash Wednesday, come into work with ash on their heads, their children's confirmation. And that offends the Orange Order.
Well, look, the question is this. Why is it that some of our members are afraid to openly talk about issues that emanate from the Protestant community, but issues that emanate from the Catholic community, people feel free to talk about them within the civil service. Something has gone wrong in some departments that this ethos has crept in my opinion.
What's offensive about a children's confirmation? These are family things that surely someone would walk into work and say, my child got confirmed. And here you are, as the head of the Orange Order, saying, this is offensive.
There's nothing offensive in talking about a child's confirmation, if that's all it's about. The difficulty arises and the cool house arises. The fear factor is what our members are saying arises, fear of victimisation of the complaint. When the ethos of conversation or the ethos of what people discuss in an office becomes overwhelmingly just emanating from one side of the community.
If you want to pick up the phone this morning, 030 30 80 55 55, and these type of statements that I have just challenged you about, they are the body, they're the thrust of why you have released this report talking about Protestants being living in fear when they're in work in the civil service, that people are going in and talking about their children's confirmations, and my goodness, they might have a sympathy card on their desk. You also talk, this report quotes an official report, Drew.
Yeah.
Saying overall, the community background percentage composition of the Northern Ireland Civil Service within each department, you look at the percentage of Roman Catholic staff in civil service departments, mm-hmm. and you highlight where there is more percentage of Catholics than Protestants in some departments, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Which departments?
There are a lot of statistics in this. I don't have that just in my head here now, so I don't.
Okay, well,
Can I mention...
Well, I can help you out there.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've got the graph in front of me from your report. So the Department of Education and Learning, there are more Roman Catholic staff than Protestants. And the Department DSD, there are more Roman Catholic staff in the Northern Ireland Civil Servants Departments than average of the Roman Catholic community. What's your concern there?
No, we're just flagging that up as statistics. I mean, if you take all some departments have a disproportionately high number of Protestants and some have a disproportionately high number of Catholics. And I accept that historically the civil service was disproportionately Protestant. But it's now disproportionately Catholic. There are complex and multiple reasons for that. Historic allegiances, you know, even political patronage in the years ago, and location of jobs, and all sorts of things. But now we've got from the official figures which we've been able to discover, official internal reports discovered in Freedom of Information requests. I mean, we've got one. Can I flag one up here? I can't understand this one. That's why I want to meet with the head of the civil service to talk about things like this. For the pay statistics for the Northern Ireland Civil Service for 2015, just last year, for the staff not on the NICS pay scales, Protestant earnings are 8.9% less than Catholic median earnings. I can't understand how that could arise or why that would be.
Well, and that's a fair question. And no doubt we should ask questions around that. The report says, the report also says, Drew, in summary, our members are saying to us they are not being treated fairly and they are afraid to speak out.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, which government department is in charge of the civil service? It's DFP, Department of Finance and Personnel, which has been a DUP-headed department for the last 9 years.
Yeah.
So the Orange Order is seriously trying to tell us that the DUP have presided over an anti-Protestant agenda in the civil service for nearly a decade.
I personally don't think there's an anti-Protestant agenda, is the first thing. I think this is an ethos that has grown up over a number of years within the Northern Ireland Civil Service. And can I say this also, that the Orange Order is not coming at this problem from the point of view of just complaining and then going away. We want to work with the Northern Ireland Civil Service to find out the real roots of what's going on here and to work with them to help to address what we believe to be a problem, in the same way that in the past they have worked with the GAA to address a problem in a particular department.
The Republican blogger, Chris Donnelly, listening to this today. If they're concerned, Chris, they're concerned. If their perception is that they're in fear, these 25 people who have compiled this report, and it's a cold house for them.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a perception versus reality situation, Stephen. I think, first of all, our workforce in Northern Ireland, both the public and private sectors, is now approaching one that is representative of this society. And for that, we should be grateful for those who lobbied vociferously over this issue for the past 40 years and beyond, people like Inez McCormick and others involved in Fair Employment. The problem with this report from the Orange Order, which is quite unfortunate, you've alluded to the fact it's 25 people. It highlights ignorant, prejudicial mindset of some. I mean, some of those comments, I think a lot of people will find appalling. Objecting to feeling afraid because somebody comes to work with ash on their forehead, claiming victimization because someone perhaps has had a relative that has died, and a friend, could be a Protestant, Catholic, could be anyone, has given them a mass card. Parents talking about a child's sacrament attendance at that. I don't think there's anybody who, from the most strident of unionist to nationalist, whatever your constitutional outlook, that genuinely has a problem with those.
I think what Drew is saying, though, that if the shoe was on the other foot, if some of his members come in and talked about the Orange Order, then that would be unacceptable.
Well, again, I don't accept that it is comparable to talk about a child's sacrament or a dead relative and someone giving you a card to signify support, solidarity with you. I mean, the equivalent of that is the equivalent of that. I also think that talking about people, I would imagine, workplace, will talk about all sorts of things, sporting events. One thing I do want to highlight, which I do think is positive, is that the Orange Order, the fact that the Orange Order are displaying a commitment perhaps to using objectively verifiable evidence to make a claim on the issues of employment and to address equality in Northern Irish society, that is a positive development. And if there is a trend that does develop, and I think the civil service, like all other public and private sector employers, does need to be monitored. But an interesting feature, obviously, within the civil service, and perhaps Drew can comment on this, is that the higher you go up the pay scale, the Protestant community, in terms of higher pay grades, are disproportionately represented. And just in terms of using objective evidence, that is overwhelming. And I just wonder, does Drew Nelson believe that that should be addressed in any same manner?
Do you want to respond to that, Drew, very quickly?
Yes. I accept that there are historic reasons for that, and the evidence is clear about that, and all of these issues should be addressed.
What? Just finally, because we're running out of time this morning, what do you want to happen as a result of you releasing this report into the public domain, Drew?
What we want to do is to work with the Northern Ireland Civil Service to identify and to try and get an understanding, a deeper understanding of the roots of this problem, in the same way that they have worked with the GAA to address the similar issue in one particular department.
Okay. And do you actually think the likes of mass cards and people get into work with ice in their heads as part of the religion, do you think that should be banned from the workplace?
That's something I would want to talk to them about, their where the boundaries are on display of items that reflect, you know, one community or the other. I've never worked in the civil service, don't know how open they are to having things like that, but it's just where you draw the line and where it becomes overwhelming, maybe in one particular office.
Okay, Drew Nelson.
It all depends on context.
Thank you very much, Drew. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you.